Okay, lessons from the lathe. Morai v'rabbeisai, another great opportunity, I hope, to try my best to inspire you. This week's parsha, Parsha's Bahar, here in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh. We'll be learning today's lessons from the lathe on the topic of how my free time defines me. Today's lessons from the lathe is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, as we have been doing for Chaim Yonatan, Mordechai ben Pesha Elka, and also Michal Yafa, Bat Aviva Aliza, two babies that the Rebbeinu Shalom should send a complete refuah shleim v'soch shar chole Yisrael. Amen. Welcome everybody. I hope you're not just here for the delicious, wonderful bakery goods, but yesh koyach to my wife for making them nice and hot and tasty. I think that one of the topics that you should be thinking about, not just you, but anybody listening, and specifically to our alumni as well, is what do you do with your free time? Your free time will define your life. And I think that that's an important part of really what you guys are doing. So now you're in your free time, you're off now, and you've decided to come to learn Torah. So that's already a good start. But the question becomes, now that you go upstairs to your rooms, but more importantly, on Sunday, July 22nd, I just made that up, but on the next Sunday in July and in August, what are you doing? What are you doing with your free time? And your free time, I think, very much defines who you are. And based on this week's parasha, I would like to learn out this basic idea. In this week's parasha, of course, we learn the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shemitah takes up a good deal of portion of Parshas Bahar. And one of the things I learned from Parshas Bahar is that the Rebbeinu Shalom created this Shabbat Shabbaton. He created a Shabbat La'aretz. And of course, when we hear the word Shabbos, so we know what Shabbos is, it sounds like Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. So the question is that, what is this? We have one Shabbos coming up. Is there any similarities over here? And the answer, of course, is yes. So first of all, I wanted to point out the Svarno from this week's Parsha. The Svarno says something very, very beautiful. And I'll read it in English, because I want to read a Perush in English on this. Shabbos LaHashem, Perush Chavhei, Pasuk Dalet. Right? It's called a Shabbos LaHashem. The people, the land workers, who will rest during that year will also be awakened, will be aroused to seek God in some manner. Says the Perush over here, which I can only assume this was written in English by the great Rabbi Pelkowitz. So it says like this. What does it mean Shabbat LaShem is used here, and it's used again in the pasuk that we quoted, is a general statement teaching us that Shemitah, the Sabbatical year, is meant to be utilized to seek out and to serve Hashem, similar to the purpose of Shabbos itself. And it's repeated again in our pasuk, it's repeated twice in two psukim, to emphasize that even the simple land laborer, whose Torah knowledge is minimal, will also be afforded the opportunity to see God on his own simple level. Very important, remember what I said. This is what the Chinuch says as well. Mishor she'a mitzvah pei dalet, says the Chinuch, the mitzvah of Shemitah's karkos, to paint the picture of an inyan chadash ha'olam, just like on Shabbos Hashem created the yom, we have to think of what menucha is, and go back to the roots of who created this world, who created everything and anything that is amazing, which is in itself both Shabbos and Shemitah. To better define this idea, says the son of the Ben Ish Chai, who wrote his own Sefer, he says this basic idea that we just learned in the Svarno and in the Chinuch. And that is that Shabbos, as we know, defines really what you do throughout the week. Right? A person's Shabbos, and now especially our days, When Shabbos is about to start, and the last thing you do, I assume, like me, before Shabbos, is that you go like this, and you power down, and you're done. The phone won't ring anymore. That's it. You're done. You're not connected, Baruch Hashem, to the world anymore. You feel like my son feels the whole week, because he's not allowed to have internet. You know, I have to text him scores every few minutes. So you feel like that a whole Shabbos. But after a while, hopefully you don't think about it. Rahman al-Islam, Lord, I hate to say this, this is mamish, not something I should say, but of course, you know, I say whatever I want. So, on Pesach, there was a number of sporting events that took place, not even so important, but Yankee games and things of the nature. So my son comes down on the first day of Pesach, and he tells me the sports scores, who's won, He said, you know, the Yankees won. That's not. I get very upset in America. So you know, it's the Minhag Yisrael that before davening you go to your neighbor who's not Jewish, or you're able to read the paper, or you know, you go to Carlos, the guy, the caretaker of the shul, and he knows all the scores. Okay. But how did my Yaakov get the scores? It wasn't from Ahmed or Muhammad, who was our waiter. So how did he get it? So he told me that one of the boys, who happens not to be from this country, had an alert on his phone. And the alert was set to go off at a certain time, Baruch Hashem, you know, before he went to davening. And all he did is, he didn't touch the phone, he just looked at the alerts, and it popped up, pop, 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 and had all the sports scores. He knew exactly what time that was. So my son then asked me after he already did this, he says, what do I think about this? I said, I think it's a horrible thing. It's not within the spirit of Shabbos. I don't like it. It's not a Tom Tov. But things got worse. Another guy came down to breakfast and he had the New York Times printed out from the computer. I thought that was interesting. So I said, how did you get the New York Times? The guy goes, oh, you went to the front desk. And he said, can you log in, Amir Lakum? I wish, except the woman behind the counter's name was Dahlia, so I don't think she was. She was Jewish. And he printed out the New York Times. Very, very not good. That's not the spirit of Shabbos. Shabbos is defines who you are. Shabbos, you have this huge chunk of free time. Okay? So you can't go on the internet. You can't waste your time on Facebook. You can't waste your time on YouTube. Right? You can't do all these things. So what do? All Shabbos. So for some people, they don't know what to do with themselves. Shabbos defines you because it defines the rest of your week, because you're basically saying, hey, I'm busy the rest of the week. I work, I do this, and I need downtime. Okay, I get it. Hashem says. Now it's my day, it's Shabbos. What do? You have free time now? So define who you are. Says Ben Ishchai's son, it defines who you are. Do you sit and learn Torah? Do you spend time saying, listen, this is really me. This is who I am. I really want to study Torah. I just didn't have time during the week. I was once told by an elderly Jew that when he lived in Europe, the way that Friday nights would work would be as follows. This is remarkable. Friday, every Friday night in his shtetl was Shavuos night. I said, what do you mean? He told me that every Friday night you would go home, you would have a delicious Shabbos meal, you would spend time with the kids, and then you would say goodnight to your wife. And at whatever time it was, this is very interesting, I don't know exactly, I guess electricity was invented, I don't know, they would go back, maybe candles, they would go back to the shul. And from whatever time, I don't know, 11 o'clock, whatever it was, they sat and learnt until Vasikin. And they died Vasikin and they came home after Vasikin. Every single Shabbos as well. Why? Because that defined who they were. During the week, they had to be there, whatever they were doing. The farmers and the tailors and all these different things, but that's who they are. That is what Shemitah is as well. So for 6 years, I'm working the land hard. I don't have time. And now the Shemitah year comes. And the Shemitah year comes, and now it defines who you are. What are you going to do during that Shemitah year? You can't do anything. So, right. So, you don't have halacha, really, but is there malacha, except for your own produce. You could go on Facebook, and you could go. But what do? So, there is an unbelievable surge here in Eretz Yisrael last year, during the Shemitah year, of people doing such incredible Mesiras Nefesh, taking the year off. If you went on Highway 1, you saw in the farms over there, those big signs, Kam Shomim Shemitah. What a great thing to come off the plane and be able to see that on the sides of the roads. And now, if you drive, you can see the bracha of Hashem. You see how beautiful, as the Rabbeinu Shalom promises in our parsha, how beautiful the crop is. It's really, really amazing. But what do? They sat and they learned Torah. But, as the Sfarno says, not just stam people, as Rabbi Pelkut said, not just stam people, but people who were not so learned. You see, sometimes we make the excuse, and what do we say to ourselves? We say to ourselves, well, Rabbi, you know, guys, did you hear what Rabbi Hartzain had to say today? He doesn't remember when he went to Hafter. He doesn't remember that he lived in the five towns. Come on, it's different. No. The idea is that it doesn't matter who you are. You learn Torah on your own level. You want to be a Pirkei Avos Jew on Shabbos? Fine. You don't want to go to the Rabbi Shir? You want to do something else? Fine. But find something to do. Define yourself. And now if I can go a step further, and this is the part that's more difficult. Defining yourself, and really, it defines what your free time is. It defines who you are. What do I do during my free time? So I have a little cartoon, as you saw over here. I don't know who this person is. I don't know who this is. So I'm kidding. And he, thank you for thinking I'm a tzaddik. And he said, not sure if have lots of free time or forgetting to do something gravely important. And that really defines what it is. A person thinks to himself, oh, I have a lot of free time, but in fact he doesn't. What does he do with his free time? And free time comes in many, many shapes and forms. Some things, time comes in what you don't call free time, right? You don't think it's free time. What do I mean by that? A person has to travel, unfortunately, to work. And whatever, he lives in Teaneck, and he has to go to New York City. And he takes a bus every morning. The bus takes, if he's lucky, an hour. Sometimes there's traffic. And so, what does he do on the bus? So he says, oh, this is a great time, I could sleep. This is a great time, I could, I don't know, make sure that I do well on what so-and-so game. Right? Subway server, I want to be the, I want to be the champion. So that, I could send it on Facebook to other people, I could see how amazing I am. Or do they try to accomplish and say, you know what? I'm going to try this Dafiomi thing on the bus by myself. He can be very lucky and he can live in the five towns and have a Dafiomi car to the city. Or he can get into different tapes and CDs and listen on the whatever it is. Listen to Wai Torah and listen to... And that will inspire him. And that's the way he defines himself. Because that's also free time. There's a great story about... Eliakim Rubinstein, I believe he's the attorney general. And I heard this story from a great gadol. He told over that the assistant to the prime minister of Israel at the time and now, Benjamin Netanyahu, was enamored that whenever Mr. Rubinstein would come to meet the prime minister, so you know how it would work, you don't actually go the time that you're scheduled. The prime minister would like to see you now, so what do you do? You don't answer, well, I'm sorry, I don't have any free time. You go. But sometimes you can wait there for some time. So he said that he was one of the few people that when he'd be waiting, he would open up a book. And it wasn't a book, it was a sefer, and it was a Mishnah Berurah, and he was going over Siman Shulchan Aruch. And that defined his free time. If you ever have the schus of living here, you'll see that in all the kupat cholim and all the medical centers, when you have to go, unfortunately, fight to wait online, because you don't just wait online here in Israel, you have to wait online and then fight that you're, what happens is you have a time that you go, right? So you have to go to the doctor, I have to go at 6:12. I have an appointment from 6:12 to 6:14. they're hoping you're not that sick. So, right? So now you're waiting, and finally, after this 38 people in front of you, it's finally your turn. Right, because when you get there at 6:12, you say to everybody online, "Who's next?" And there's like some lady that says, "Oh, I'm 4:30. They didn't go yet, And then you're about to go in, and comes along a guy and he says, "I'm 5:00." You're like, "What?" And he gets to go in front. So finally, so what do you do during that hour that you're waiting there? So in many kupat cholim, everyone that I've seen, they're svarim. They have svarim, but they have this sefer, that sefer. You can also bring your own sefer. How do you define your free time? That's one level of free time, but then there's a real free time. Then there's the whole Sunday. We have nothing to do. You don't have college. You don't have this. You don't have that. How do you define it? And let's go a little bit further. You get married. Baruch Hashem. And now you don't have any more free time because your free time is no longer yours. It belongs to somebody named your wife. And you think in your mind, this is what my wife wants. I should spend every living hour with my wife. Except you're not really doing that. Sunday morning, you come home, Baruch Hashem, from shul, and you put your feet up and you start watching TV. But you're home. You're with my wife. You're not with your wife. You're scared to say to your wife, do you mind? The rabbi gives a shiur, whatever. Bagels and berekas and learning. Can I go to that shiur? And the wife said, "Wow, yeah, of course." And then all of a sudden, you define your day in a different way. What? You went for 1 hour out of 24? Nah, that's different. You need to define what you do with your free time. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big believer in free time. I'm a believer that somebody needs to wind down. I'm a believer that after you learn, you need to take some time off. I was a Talmud in a certain yeshiva, and it was Sukkot time, I believe, and I spent a little bit extra time in the base manager Sukkot time, and it was not even a month into yeshiva, and one of the rabbis came up to me, you won't know who he is, it doesn't matter, and he threw it in my face, 50 shekel, and he said, "Go see a movie, go. And and they didn't understand what he meant, but then he explained himself. He said, "I'm afraid you're going to burn out. You can't, and thank God he wasn't, I don't think he was right at now, but it is something that happens. A guy learns like crazy, he says, "I don't need any free time, I don't need it." And then all of a sudden, he doesn't know what to do with himself. So we do need free times. And some of the great Gedolim, I mean, stories about some of the great Hasidic rabbis would go to the Swiss Alps, they would go to this place. It's mutter, you have to do that. It's a mitzvah. You have to take time off. But how much time do you have to take off? Do you have to go ahead and say to yourself, start justifying your time off, and start saying, well, you know, this was my Facebook time, that wasn't really time off, because I'm marketing myself so I can get a good job, or I'm going to get a good shidduch. You know, you can make all the excuses in the world. But are you really forgetting to do something important during your free time and saying, really, what defines me is that who I am? And this is the zman that you should be developing this midah. You should be thinking to yourselves, how do I define myself? I am defined by my free time. And do I not say, no, you know what? I don't have free time now. This is my learning time. Just one other nekuda is when you establish your non-free time, how will you let that control your life? And I mean this in the most beautiful way. There are people who have the schus that they go to a daf yomi shir. But they say to themselves, this is my daf yomi shir. It does not cut into anything. I remember when I first got to YU, I had a chavrusa. And it was the worst chavrusa you could ever have, with all due respect to him. Why? Because he was very machbid, even if he didn't have a car, on alternate side street parking. Right? So every Sheni Chamishi, every other day, he tells me, I'm sorry, I gotta go move my car to the other side, and then I gotta wait there until the people don't come to clean the streets, and then I move the car back, you know, the whole thing. And it was a horrible chavrusa, because you'd go out for an hour to stop. Right? Or does he say himself, no, I want to define what a chavrusa is. No, I'm not going. I know somebody, I think this is a little bit crazy, but I admit it. He's a big daf yomi guy. He doesn't want to miss his daf. He's not the magachir. So what does he do? If he has to go to a wedding or a bar mitzvah, he brings the daf yomi with him. He photocopies the page, big deal. And he said to me, you would be surprised how much time you have at a wedding. The whole chuppah, certainly in America, could take hours. And he learned that daf yomi is not a big deal. So my question is that when you just develop that learning schedule, that chavrusa, right? Is it going to be somebody who's strong? I was lucky. I had a great chavrusa when we first got married, and he was really rough on me. And I'd be like, I'm really sorry. I'm not feeling well, like you guys say, you know, right? And he's like, okay, loser, let's go. Get out of bed and let's come. I'm like, no, really, I don't feel. He's like, I don't care. And there was no excuse that was good enough for him. Like, my wife just gave birth. He's like, your wife gave birth. You didn't give birth. Come on, let's go. Come to the chavrusa. He was great. It was great like that. There was some great rabbi giving a shir. He says, I'm sorry. You have to listen on a CD. We learned. There's a time to learn. But it taught me such a great lesson. You know, sometimes the first thing to drop is, oh, yeah, this is my learning time. But I mean, is there another time I can see my friends from LA? They're coming in. They'll understand. By the way, it's the same thing, excuse me for saying, by Mincha and Meirev and this and that. We say, well, I can't daven Mincha Meirev today because I have a date. What do you mean you can't daven Mincha Meirev today? Because you have a date. What does it do with anything? It's embarrassing to tell, what are you, Christian? You want to reveal it to her that you're Jewish? Say, listen, I'm really sorry. We're in the middle of a date. We've been going out now. It's Sunday from 2 o'clock. You obviously know that I didn't daven Mincha. I'm sorry, it's 7 o'clock now. I need to go daven Mincha. You know, either you can come with me to the shul or you can get mugged on the street. I don't care, but I need to daven Mincha. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think actually it's a good way to find a girl that will like you if you say that. Your free time divides who you are, and it defines that. And you could do it in fun ways. Maybe, you know, you're going to be the guy who says, okay, here's how I'm developing my evening. I'll just give you a good example. Okay, you guys have been learning Baruch Hashem, let's say the whole day. Let's say you're the perfect person, and now you're going to end in a moment or two, and now you're going to go up to your room. So now it's 10:35. 11:35, 12:35, 1:35, you have 3 hours. Okay, fine. 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is. What are you doing those 4 or 5 hours? What do you do? Now, I'm not talking about what another speech can be. What are you watching? Okay, that's another speech. Are you spending any time talking to your friend, trying to inspire him, trying to say, well, you know, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that, in a good way. Dibur chaverim, it's important. Before you go to sleep at night, do you learn? Rav Hartstein, are you an idiot? I learned the whole day. I don't have to learn. No, right before you go to sleep. You want to have good machshava. It's the last thing you do. Pick a sefer. Say, no, this is the way I end my day. Define what free time is for yourself and define that it is something that's important. And yes, we need free time. But Torah, Shemitah, Shabbos LaHashem. That defines who I am. That's really who I am. What do your Shabboses look like? Let's think about what our Shabboses truly look like. Is it a day that we just have fun? And we think that with every tefillah, the dress code becomes lower and lower, and then by mincha ready, it's already time for flip-flops and shorts and a t-shirt? Or do we say, no, this is Shabbos. I'm dressed in a way that's mechubad, I can't do it the whole week. And I learn like I can't do the whole week. And Shabbos is the time I'm able to finish all of Shas Mishnayas, and it's the time that defines who you are. We should be all zoichet to get this very important lesson in Mirz Hashem. We should be zoichet to see only Besoris Torvis for all of Klal Yisrael.